Hello, how are you? Welcome to the program here on a Monday on WBAL News Radio 1090. Ooh, where to begin? Let's start with the Baltimore Orioles because they are hot. Again, it's almost like a deja vu experience with this club, especially compared to last year because the team, like last year, got off to a slow start April, May, and you've heard me say this before. I kind of look at the baseball season as a thoroughbred horse race, the long kind, like the Belmont Preakness and the Kentucky Derby. And most of the best teams, year in, year out, do not go wire to wire like the Orioles did in 1997. They don't do what the Cardinals are doing right now. They don't lap the field, even though the Orioles ended up doing that last year. They don't rout the field early on in May. They kind of stalk the leader. And unlike American Pharoah, in the Belmont and in the Preakness, you typically see the best team stalk the leader and then make a big move somewhere in the middle of the summer and then hang on. And then the postseason, something entirely different. But the Orioles, like last year, make a move in June. They make a big move this year in June. Already 18 wins on the month, 18-8 with a few more days to go. They're actually pacing better than last year's club. You know that club that won the division by like 1,000 games? And do you remember, it wasn't that long ago, everyone was trashing the American League East. You remember that, Jay. And I said, there isn't one team in baseball outside the American League East that would want to trade in to be a part of this division. Not one organization would say, short or long term, I want to be a part of the American League East. Because no one's that dumb. Even if you think the Yankees and Red Sox are down right now, you know likely they're not down for long, and they're still going to acquire the best players every offseason. And as long as Buck Showalter's here and the Rays do things the way the Rays do, and, you know, the Blue Jays are always trying to buy their way in, and they're not just throwing the towel, and they probably would be a first-place club in almost every other division right now. It's a very tough division. And I said that, and I said just because you're comparing it to what the division was from pretty much the middle 90s to just a few years ago when the Yankees and Red Sox were winning about 100 games or close to it every year, just because it's not that way anymore and there might be a new dog on top like the Orioles doesn't mean the division isn't good. It means there's more depth. In some ways, you could argue right now that the AL East is deeper and stronger than what it's been in that 20-year run where it was without question the toughest division in baseball. It just beat down the Orioles, Blue Jays, and Rays so badly that those organizations threw many different reclamation and rebuilding projects simply could not get off the ground until Andy McPhail got here, which we will talk about soon, and Andrew Friedman and Joe Maddon got to St. Petersburg, Florida. But right now you have four clubs with 41 wins or more, four clubs at a minimum, five games better than 500 in the American League East. And there isn't a division anywhere close to that. They may not have the St. Louis Cardinals right now or even the Washington Nationals or the LA Dodgers, although pretty close. But you have four teams within a single game. And I expect it to be pretty close all summer long. I really do. Although I said that a year ago, and the Orioles ran away with it. And if Chris Tillman and Bud Norris get going, the Orioles will run away with it again this year. The fact that the Orioles are right now in first place, and Tillman and Norris really haven't gotten going. Tillman was great yesterday, but he hasn't gotten going. And Adam Jones has missed pretty much the better part of 2 weeks. That says something about this team. And if you look at it, it's eerily similar in so many ways. I mean, look who's contributing yesterday. Jimmy Paredes, Chris Parmalee, Travis Snyder, who many of us, including me, kind of said they should cut ties, move on. And yet here he is. And those are kind of what you see now is kind of the big picture Andy McPhail moves, which have been the hallmark of this club for 4 years. With these small piece moves, seemingly small piece moves, by Dan Duquette, somewhat fillers. He gets a bunch of stuff, throws at the wall, and inevitably, it seems every June, we look at it and say, who's Steve Tolleson? Who's Steve Pierce? Who's Chris Parmalee? And why are they here, and why are they contributing in a big boy race like the American League East? It is unbelievable. You can set your watch to it the last four summers. And then you have, of course, the maestro of it all, Buck Showalter, who finds ways to put these guys in the right spot always. In the right spot, at the right time, in the right matchup, finds ways to get at-bats for all of them, finds ways to kind of stick to the right guys. I always find it funny when a proven player, a proven commodity, struggles for a little bit, they should cut him. The Twitter wagon goes nuts. Cut Chris Tillman. Yeah, cut Chris Tillman. One of the best pitchers in the American League over the last 3 years. Adam Jones is swinging pitches down the way. They should get rid of him. Yeah, that's a smart decision. But Buck always finds a way to figure it out. And I admit, I was skeptical of this club in May. I did think they would win the division. I said it then. I said it on opening day, and I said it in spring training. I thought this team would win the division. Although I thought the timing of this year was a little different, and it will change things this year because with the pending free agents they have, the onus to be good earlier this year was much stronger. I didn't think the Orioles would be in a sell-all mode come July, but they had some tough decisions looming if they were not fully in this race, which, of course, now seems moot. For now, it seems completely moot. Now, can the Orioles maneuver things to where they're making moves for right now and for next year? I don't know the answer to that, to be honest with you. That's going to be very tough. And news today that Dylan Bundy is shut down indefinitely with a sore right shoulder, tendonitis. This is after he's already had Tommy John surgery on his elbow. He's out of options. He signed a major league contract, which they don't even permit anymore, out of the draft. He essentially has to be on the big league roster next year. He's barely pitched professionally, to be honest with you, and very little since the year after he was drafted in 2012 and got all the way to the big leagues and was so great and rated so highly. It's so depressing. News today that Hunter Harvey will start a throwing program, but that's the next Orioles' best pitching prospect, and he's also hurt. And here we go again with that. It's unbelievable to me how good the team has been, and they still either have the same bad luck that they've had for 25 years when it comes to getting these pitchers going, these drafted pitchers that they're having a hard time developing. But I can't imagine, not that the Orioles were going to trade Bundy, but I can't imagine they can move the few young pitchers they have right now, like they did last year with Eduardo Rodriguez, to bring back a short-term fix and a pending free agent like they did last year with Eduardo Rodriguez for Andrew Miller. And that was the right move last year. There's no question. But right now, with Bundy on the shelf and Harvey on the shelf, they don't have, I don't think, the organizational depth pitching-wise to make a move like that. Now, maybe they get clever and make a move and do something really bold, like trade a Chris Davis to bring back a piece for right now and for tomorrow. Maybe, but I think they need Davis's bat, right? I mean, they need Davis's bat in this lineup right now. Even with all of his flaws, he's going to hit 30-plus home runs, right? They need that. Your thoughts on this Orioles club, 410-467-WBAL.